This is Millennial Man Motions Entertainment, LLC. Today is Tuesday, December 6th, 2022, and my friend and co-host Avi and I are discussing some of the James Cameron directed movies, as he's soon going to come out with Avatar 2, The Way of the Water, 13 years after Avatar from 2009. We just won't be covering The Abyss from 1989 or Avatar or any of the Avatar movies. But if you go see Avatar 2, The Way of the Water for yourself soon, when it comes out the middle of this month, you can let me know what you thought of it. But we'll just be doing every movie with the exception of The Abyss and Avatar movies. But now we're up to The Terminator 1984. This was James Cameron's first big hit. So, Avi, what comes to mind first when you think of The Terminator 1984?
Well, actually, when I was young, the Terminator movie, one Terminator movies I saw is actually Terminator 2. It's my parents' favorite, but...
Are you saying you saw Terminator 2 before Terminator 1?
Yeah, because even I didn't know about the first movie about that, but even though my parents objected to watching it, because they thought that the first movie is Arnold Schwarzenegger's one of his villainous roles, besides Batman and Robin, about... Because even though he's known for area of good guys action stuff, but this one is become a scary guy villain about the.
I would, even though he played a villain in Batman and Robin with Mr. Freeze, I would say that the more villainous for sure type of thing is the Terminator, especially because you said at the end of Batman and Robin, he was trying to give his medicine away and be good or something. So Terminator is for sure where he's real villainous for sure. I don't want to get too far off track, but you mentioned to me recently that the first Star Wars movie you ever saw was Return of the Jedi. How come you saw Return of the Jedi before A New Hope or Empire?
Because even though since I like the E.T., but they wanted to maybe watch something that had cute family creatures, and I saw as E.T.
Okay, so I guess, so because of the E.T. thing, okay, that's good. So I guess what my question is, before we go way back to Terminator 84, is when did you end up seeing New Hope and Empire after Return of the Jedi? Like, what was the order?
Well, sometimes, after a week later, he just warned me about the Return of the Jedi and want me to just watch something like the one with the...
So after Return of the Jedi, did you see A New Hope next and then Empire?
New Hope next and Empire Strikes Back, yeah.
Okay, so you saw New Hope right after Return of the Jedi and then Empire after New Hope. Okay, because here's my big problem I have with Return of the Jedi. Having a second Death Star, it seems so unoriginal that all they could do is have a second Death Star.
Because if they want to rebuild it, it becomes very highly costly to the Empires.
Oh, I guess that. Okay, I kind of get that. Okay, so back to Terminator 84. As we're talking about this, do you have the IMDb PBH up for it?
Not yet.
Please, while we're talking now, please put up the Terminator 1984 IMDb page on anything that might help you discuss more and notice about the movie.
Also, for the original film, Arnold Schwarzenegger only has spoken a few dialogues.
Yes, he only has like a select amount of lines. It says in the parts of the trivia, it'll tell the exact amount of lines he has. This movie.
You can imitate the voice of some other people.
The imitating of other voices is pretty neat. Also, okay. So for the trivia, this movie Terminator 84 has 261 bits of trivia, and one of that will include how many lines of dialogue he has.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the director, when I saw the first Terminator, I only saw the first half of the movie, even I stopped the part, during my younger days, I stopped the part about when the Kyle Reese woke up from his nightmare, when he's back from the war in the future.
Say that, what were you saying again in the last part?
So the last time I saw Terminator, when I was young, only saw the first half of the Terminator movie before I become of age. The first half of the movie I saw, it ends about that I stop as the part where Kyle Reese wakes up from his nightmare.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be talking about more about Kyle Reese a little bit later. I guess my question, since you saw this later on, is, and you saw Terminator 2 before Terminator 1, the original first Terminator, when did your parents, let you see this first one?
Only until, when I come of age, after my...
So what are we talking about? 15, 16, 17? Like, what age?
After my bar mitzvah.
Okay, anything after bar mitzvah, okay. Alright, so I guess since you just mentioned about Kyle Reese, we'll start with him. What are your thoughts after you see this movie once or twice in regards to first mentioning about Michael Bain as Kyle Reese? What do you think of Kyle Reese?
Well, sometimes he's very interested my first movie, I always thought Terminator 2, I thought it'd be like two versions of Terminator, but even I didn't know the plot about the first one is actually about one is a Terminator's hunt to kill, but the other one's protection is actually the resistance.
I want to say, what's the word for it? I don't know the exact word on how you put this, but part of the appeal of the second movie, Terminator 2, is that James Cameron put in the writing that the reason for Arnold being able to come back after he passed away at the end of the first movie is that they reprogrammed the T-800 to be good in the second movie. And that was the big reveal of him being good or whatever, which I think messed things a lot up because he's the most villainous in his first movie. And then T2 on or anything that came up with those fan fiction movies after T2, he was more or less good after that. And then only being kind of bad as Freeze in Batman and Robin, but this is the only real true movie where he's this bad villainous as opposed to the other ones. But anyway,
Michael Biehn, he does make an appearance in Terminator 2, but the scene is cut to
It's a deleted scene while she's still in the hospital. I like the deleted scene of him in Terminator 2 where I think it's Sarah's kind of dreaming about him and he's kind of with her for that one little deleted scene there in the hospital, which is a nice touch.
If you watch the Titanic, it's almost like coincidence about Sarah Connor is Kate Winslet and Michael Biehn is Leo DiCaprio about love lorn about the idea of dreams about what she missed him about.
I guess that could be a good comparison the way you kind of stated that. That kind of is a good comparison. Now, what I think that's interesting about this story is that it says it comes back from the future of 2029. So we're almost in 2023. So we're getting closer and closer to 2029.
That's for next year. It'll be 6 years from now, but. Even though they say the nuclear apocalypse happens August 29th, 1997.
Yeah. I want you to hold off on that date because August 29th, 1997 is more about lines of dialogue and story with the second movie, and we'll be doing T2 next, the second movie, so we're going to hold off on August 1997 just yet, but let's concentrate now, the 1984 original. Okay, so the Human Soldier, which is, Kyle Reese and the Terminator are both from 2029, and they're brought into this time portal thing into 1984 Los Angeles. So
Kyle Reese is the only one who can feel pain that the Terminator doesn't. About
right, exactly. So both guys, Kyle Reese and the Terminator, both come in naked because you can only go through a time portal naked. So
even though they say that in the time travel, you can't use a clothes absorbent so that. because you know you might get burnt up or like you need something like it's very like it's something I had to study hypothetically how you could time traveling without the clothes on.
Well, you're right. So Kyle Reese tries to steal clothes, I believe, from a
hobo.
From a hobo and hobo slash cop. A hobo, the hobo, and slash the cop, and then you know, well, Schwarzenegger takes out those three
punk
guys.
And one is actually Bill Paxton.
Right, Bill Paxton again. Yeah.
The blue spiked hair.
Right.
One.
Yeah, with the blue spiked hair of Paxton. Yes, and I think we're definitely we're going to talk more about Bill Paxton and Arnold Schwarzenegger in their connection when we get to True Lies after Terminator 2 is done. But yeah, so yeah, I was one of the punks. So they both get their clothes after they get through the time portal. And this is more like, you know, a more horrific horror/slasher type movie as opposed to any other ones.
Describes like almost like a neo noir. You know,
yeah,
like
that too. Also, kind of. Yeah, it's also kind of neo noir. And I don't think that any of the sequels that came after this, I don't think any of them have been as horrific slash slasher as this one was. It's very much its own thing. The sequels never kind of get to.
Even the Terminator 2 got stronger violence, even though like lots of, you know, the armory.
I would say the violence is pretty violency in both the first two. T1 and T2 both have different levels of violence. So like I said, there's 261.
You know, the entrance, James Cameron, they did make a cameo, but only in the first movie, but only here in this as a voice.
Let's see. Okay.
Director's cameo.
Okay. Yeah. Director's cameo. Oh, cameo part said. Cameron's voice is heard three times in the movie as Sarah Connor's date on the answering machine, and twice as a manager of Tiki Motel, who is heard but not seen, speaking to Sarah, and then again answers the phone when the Terminator calls. Interesting. And then he had trademarks in three or four different things. Now, where was the part you said where we know that Arnold's Terminator only has a few lines of dialogue? It says somewhere in the trivia exactly how many lines of dialogue he has in there. Can you try to find how many exact lines of dialogue his character actually has in this one?
Even though, in the trivia, the Terminator only has 21 minutes in the film.
Oh, I didn't see that part yet. You'll have to show me where that part is exactly.
It's a second. Well, it's going to take a while, but
that's fine.
Like,
while you're looking for it, we can keep talking about other parts about the movie. Okay, so we talked a little bit about Michael Biehn and a little bit of the Terminator getting to the.
Yeah, here's another fact. You know, O.J. Simpson was considered for the Terminator.
Oh yeah, that was a very big known fact about it. That that said that James Cameron didn't think he would realistic enough to be a killer. Which okay.
Because O.J. Simpson was considered for the Terminator, but the producer, he was too nice.
Too nice for it.
Cold-blooded killer. In 1990, before the Simpsons' first trial, Dark Horse Comics printed issues like using his likeness.
That's true. The thing I thought was interesting is that I like seeing his comedy or him against the other characters of in the Naked Gun trilogy, the Naked Gun movies.
Yeah.
He's funny in the
also,
Naked.
Do you know that O.J. Simpson was in the movie The Towering Inferno?
I didn't know that. When did that one come out?
1974. It's like in the era of that natural disaster movies about the Towering Inferno is about the one about that big tallest building was on fire from the top floor to the from the bottom of the building to all the way to the top.
I'd have to look that one up from the 70s. I didn't know that. I just know that he had a comedically type character role in the Naked Gun trilogy of the 80s and 90s. But that's an interesting little thing you said about the 70s. Now, you said, what was the movie in the 70s again about exactly?
The Towering Inferno.
Yeah, what was that about?
It's about the it's a natural disaster movie. It's about like disaster errors, like the Poseidon Adventure.
So some movie that kind of action is kind of adventure movie from the 70s then.
Yeah,
Okay.
It's like a disaster movie, but it's also about like it's about the building is on fire. Big Ben Tall's glass building is on fire from the due to electrical failure.
Interesting.
O.J. Simpson plays a security guard who knows about there's a flaw going on. There's like a smoke going on about to warn about this.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yep.
Hmm.
So let's see. It's also about like this. I forgot what it is, but the also you know Michael Biehn in this movie. It's the first movie that Michael Biehn says, "Come with me, you want to live." Huh?
Right, right. Yes, that's true. And then that ends up being a repeated line of dialogue in a lot of the sequels. All right, let's scroll through this trivia to find out how many lines of dialogue the Terminator actually has, which is not a very large amount. Let me just see. Let's scroll through this. Let's see. So Arnold Schwarzenegger tried to avoid Linda Hamilton and Michael Biehn as much as possible since the Terminator was trying to kill them, not form connections. Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor. What do you make of her in the first movie, how she is as Sarah Connor in this?
Well, she's kind of very innocent, so going on about, even though she has a hard job life as a waitress in the hamburger restaurant, about like, yeah, she doesn't know what she's getting involved about, like, everything what's connected about you. She wants a normal life. I thought she'd be like a teenager's type, but it looks like she's almost like a teenage.
I think she's in her 20s. I think the character's supposed to be like in her 20s in this.
Like a teenager, it's like even who's supposed to be originally cast is like originally cast before Linda Hamilton, and originally they thought that it's like Leah Thompson or there's one with Ally Sheedy.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as about that stuff. Well, as far as the teenager stuff is concerned, it said in one plot storyline of the Titanic that Kate Winslet's character was supposed to be like 17 as a teenager or something. And if that's the case, that would not be good for the whole nudity part there. But anyway. Okay, oh, here it is. Okay. James Cameron got the idea of giving Arnold Schwarzenegger even fewer lines in the film than Schwarzenegger's earlier film, Conan the Barbarian from 1982, in which Schwarzenegger only had 24 lines. In this film, Schwarzenegger has only 14 lines. So in the Terminator 1984, from right bit of that trivia right there, Schwarzenegger only has 14 lines of dialogue.
And the character of Kyle Reese was a model for Solid Snake in the artwork of the original Metal Gear video game.
I'm sorry, Kyle Reese was what exactly?
The character was a model for Solid Snake in the artwork for the original Metal Gear.
What does that mean by that? What does that mean by that on the way they say that?
Because, it's almost like you go all the way to the bottom. Like, and also, do you know, there's another interesting fact about. Turns out how James Cameron got the idea of making a Terminator movie because he has a nightmare about he got a nightmare since he saw a man burning alive, but instead of a regular skeleton, his bones made out of metal and a flaming eye.
Right. There was also something about that where some other like writer from a long time ago said that James Cameron stole the idea from him or something. It's in the trivia somewhere, but somewhere where some other person from some other show said they stole that James Cameron stole the Terminator idea from them about something else. It's somewhere along the line here exactly what that says, but yeah, what did I say? The lines of dialogue was just 14. Was it? Yeah, 14 lines of dialogue, I think I said. Yeah, Schwarzenegger in this movie only has 14 lines of dialogue. And then I saw the thing you just said about O.J. Simpson was considered for the Terminator, but the producers feared he was too nice to be taken seriously as a cold-blooded killer in 1990 before Simpson's first trial. Dark Horse Comics printed issues using his likeness. Interesting. Okay.
And also, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger's first horror film. You know?
Yeah.
Interesting. Other horror films were Predator, End of Days, and Maggie.
Right. Yeah. That's.
What's scary about that movie of the Terminator is it's one about he has to surgically repair himself, like kind of slicing his wrist to get to the mechanical parts and remove his eyeballs. About the.
Well, I know he did his eyeballs, but did he do? You said he did his wrist also. You said.
Because his arms got shot about, like,
okay, with that part, too. No, because I just remember, like, in Terminator 2, he definitely used that knife to cut his wrist in the whole, scientist...
To show about the Miles Dyson.
Yeah, we'll get more into in T2, but I want to talk about his,
And, you know, but after you remove his eyeball, it really is like a practical effect.
I thought for 1984 that was a pretty good practical effect with the eyeball for what that was all considered. Yeah. Now I want to go over what the Terminator's operating system was as far as that, because that's also interesting about here too. It says that shots through the Terminator's vision, as we just talked about the eyeball, shows a dump of the ROM ambassador code for the Apple II operating system. So it was like an Apple type operating system for how the Terminator's process was, which I thought was interesting.
And also, at around 30 minutes, just after the first scene at Nightclub Tech Noir, we hear police radio reports at 211 in progress at Bob Flicker, corner of 3rd and Cameron. This was a reference to director James Cameron, didn't it?
Speaking of that scene, what I really like about the scene you just mentioned is I like the 80s music that was played during when all the characters are in that spot. The different, like, 80s music that was playing along during that whole scene with that place.
Even for 80s music, but besides the score, they should have played a song they didn't know about in the first film. It got me burning in the third degrees. And
oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That burning song really was when people were dancing to it in the burning song. That's what I liked about that place. But I just found in the answer to your question about her age. It says right here in the trivia here, Sarah Connor is 18 years old in the movie. This is proven in the sequel, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, when Dr. Silberman says that Sarah Connor is 29 years old, and the T-1000 checks John Connor's profile when states he's, which states that he is 10 years old, having been born when Sarah was 19. So there, that's right. I think you'll be able to find it. That's the part of the trivia I'm at there. So she's 18 in the Terminator and 29 in Terminator 2.
And also, this is the first movie to introduce Dr. Silverman about interrogating with the Kyle Reese, and that becomes very, like, too skeptical about for him about to believe about the if it does exist. But he should have known about it after you leave the police station.
He just missed it right there. Now that you mention him, Dr. Silverman is a somewhat small character in this first movie. Then he has a much bigger part, much bigger extended role in the second movie. And then he has this one little cameo in Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines, and he's only in the first three. And then he's only in the first three, and Schwarzenegger is only in every movie with the exception of Terminator Salvation from 2009.
Except for the CGI version,
but not actually him in any part, yeah.
And the restaurant chain, Big Chef, that Sarah Connor works at, may be based off a fresh Big Boy chain of restaurants. They both have a human mascot holding a burger.
Hold on, what are you saying about the restaurant now?
The restaurant where Sarah Connor worked at the beginning of the movie, it's called Big Chef, that Sarah Connor works at, may be based off Frisch's / Big Boy chain of restaurants. They both have a human mascot holding a burger.
Something about a burger at a mascot? Okay.
That's where they borrowed it from. And,
okay.
And also, Terminator became a film that made Arnold Schwarzenegger a star, a household name in Hollywood, and a legend. Following his hugely successful bodybuilding career, he came to the U.S. and was told by many people that it would never play out for him as an actor due to his huge size and heavy accents. But before Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator, his other roles he did is actually back in the 70s, like Stay Hungry, and he also makes a brief appearance in the Robert Altman movie, The Long Goodbye.
Wait, what is this? Who's in The Long Goodbye?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, and when did that come out?
1973 or 4.
Oh, that's in the 70s stuff.
That's
okay.
That's longer than that. He's also in the early times. He does play as does the bodybuilding. Like, he plays one of the bodyguards, the strong guy for the mafia guy. And
in which movie is it?
The Long Goodbye.
Oh, that's also The Long Goodbye also as well?
And a documentary called Pumping Iron.
I've heard of Pumping Iron. Okay, now, if anybody's still here listening, we're going to talk more about the Terminator 1984 in the rest of the podcast, but first, we're going to segue now to a quick commercial break. If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, let me explain. Basically, it is the easiest way to make a podcast, with everything you need all in one place. Here's how it works. Anchor lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to the most popular listening platforms, including Spotify, with a single tap. Anchor is also the only place that you can publish video podcasts to Spotify. With Anchor, creators can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I personally have been enjoying creating original and memorable podcasts, which are listened to in over 50 different countries. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. Download the Anchor application or go to anchor.fm to get started. You'll be glad that you did. And we are back with Avi, my friend and co-host tonight, and we are talking about the Terminator 1984. What else about this movie stands out to you that we haven't yet already discussed?
Well, sometimes we had a good hour to discuss about, like, what influence to make a Terminator movie for James Cameron writing abilities. So Avi's idea is borrowed from The Outer Limits and The Driver.
Yeah, I think the thing about The Outer Limits was referring to what I was just saying a few minutes ago about how somewhere from something like that, The Outer Limits or some other program, someone said that they thought that they stole the idea, that Cameron stole the idea from them, and that's why it had to be figured out through court or something along those lines. But yeah. But like you were mentioning also, I like what you mentioned about the eye part. I think, all things considered, that was pretty good practical effects for the time, for what they were going for. Obviously, they had a much bigger budget for Terminator 2, but this movie has a lot of good effects and special effects and things going of that sort for being something from the 80s.
And also sometimes, like, there's also some kind of, like, and there's also what's good about this is a good dream flashback about, like, Connery's that first nightmare is one I remember in the Battle of the War, but even didn't show about, like, we all didn't show about the exoskeleton of the Terminator, only there's a hunter killers.
Right. Well, I think the skeleton of the Terminators of the future war in the beginning of Terminator 2, I think was really well done. And they also kind of did that in the beginning of Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, but that was just for that one little scene in the beginning. I would have liked to see more of that with Terminator 3 the way it was, too short with that, but definitely showed out with that with the beginning of the Skeletor Terminator future war in the beginning of Terminator 2, which we're going to, anybody who's listening.
And also, do you know that, right? Watch an early teaser trailer of the first Terminator movie. Do the narration for the first Terminator teaser.
Tell me who did the narration.
Peter Cullen, the man who voiced Optimus Prime in the Transformers.
Someone that voiced stuff from the
Transformers and Peter Cullen.
Of the.
Peter Cullen is the one who voiced a narration for that teaser trailer of the Terminator 1984. Is Peter Cullen, the man who voiced Optimus Prime in Transformers franchise.
And is that guy still alive?
He's still around.
Oh, so I guess he has different projects, including that he's been involved in. That's
also
interesting.
Also about robots.
Right, that's also about robots. And I believe right now there's a new there's going to be a new Transformers movie that's coming out in June.
Yeah, but even it's not Michael Bay involved with it.
Michael Bay is not involved with this one. Some other director.
It's directed by Creed 2 director.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So this person about the Transformers, they did some, what you said, they did partly a voice for one of the teaser trailers of Terminator 1?
He voiced a teaser trailer in the Terminator movie. It's also about the robots that he does.
And what was the guy's name? I want to look him up. What was the guy's name?
Peter Cullen. His last name is spelled Cullen.
Okay, hold on. Let me find his name. While I'm looking for his name, you can talk about other parts of the Terminator that we haven't yet talked about. Whether that's the character, story, trivia, quotes, whatever the case may be. Let me find out the guy you're talking about. What was the name again? Peter something
Peter
colon?
Peter
colon? Colon? Gonna find his name. You always educate me about more characters that I'm not, or more people's actors that I'm not familiar with. Let me see. Colon. While I'm looking him up, you can talk about other aspects about this movie. Terminator 84. What else about Terminator 4 that we haven't yet talked about you think the audience should know about?
And also about, do you know about, sometimes what I notice about, the name of the bar is called Tech Noir, because this film is, the first movie is also about very neo-noir.
It's kind of like a neo-noir type thing a bit, yeah.
And also, as what Sarah Connors, at one point, Sarah wears a bootleg of the Jetsons t-shirts. And the Jetsons was animated TV show set in the distant future, just as many of the events in the movie are set in the distant future.
Interesting.
Even it's not a family-friendly type of it, it's more like it's a survival.
So wait, what was that guy's name from Transformers again, real quick?
Peter Cullen.
Peter Cullen.
Colin, C-U-L-E-N.
Okay. I don't see him right now. I'll have to look him up later, but that's interesting. I can look him up later. All right, so back to the Terminator. Okay, so...
And also, that Terminator movie becomes famous about these, because Arnold Schwarzenegger becomes a great sign that it repeats every movie Arnold's saying.
I'll be back. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because you can tell about every movie James Cameron did something. If he wrote a screenplay, what the idea, he should have got some special awards for that best screenplay for the greatest line, like "I'm the king of the world" in the Titanic.
Well, I think when you just said "I'm the king of the world," I think James Cameron got the "I'm king of the world" from the Titanic movie. Yeah.
Yeah, because even though that's when James Cameron won an Oscar, at the ceremony he shouts out "I'm the king of the world."
Yeah.
Because how much he's the biggest.
Did you mention that in our Titanic thing or no?
We didn't get a chance to.
Oh, okay, so that's mentioned now.
Every line from the James Cameron movies is written by James Cameron.
Oh, right. Now, the thing about you just said about the Outer Limits was what I was talking about with the whole trial thing. Okay, so it says, science fiction author Harlan Ellison and James Cameron sued James Cameron, claiming that while he hugely enjoyed the film, he felt the story was plagiarized from two The Outer Limits 1963 episodes. And then they had something in court with that, and with the rest of the paragraph. So that's what I was referring to as far as Harless and Edison sued James Cameron, thinking that he stole part of his story from something else, basically.
And also sometimes Michael Biehn plays Kyle Reese, Bill Paxton, punk leader in the opening scene, and Rick Rossovich, Matt, the roommate's boyfriend, who act together in Navy SEALs.
You said something happened in Terminator where people then work together in Navy SEALs?
In the movie Navy SEALs is Charlie Sheen.
Navy SEALs has Michael Biehn and Charlie Sheen together. Yeah.
Yeah. And also Rick Rossovich, Matt, the boyfriend that was Terminator killed him along with the Ginger about the...
Say again?
Rick Rossovich, another role he does is Top Gun, the first one. He plays one of the members. And also he's in the one in the movie called Roxanne with Steve Martin. He plays the dumbest boy about the...
Okay. Well, that's a lot of stuff there. We're going to get back... We're going to try to get to all that, all what you just said there in a sec, but... knowing that you've seen Terminator 2, Judgment Day, before the Terminator, having them right next to each other, do you like one more than the other, or do you like them about the same, with Terminator 2 and Terminator 1? Do you like having seen Terminator 2 first, and not Terminator 1 till later on, and they're both good movies, do you have one you like more than the other, or do you like them both about the same?
Well, sometimes the Terminator 2 would change everything evidence about special effects, but even though I like when I first watched the first movie, I really like the ending about the villain's revelations.
I'm sorry, the ending of which movie? One or two?
The first one.
Oh, let's talk about that now. So we're fast forwarding towards the ending of the first movie. What describe to the audience what happened at the end of the movie and why you liked how it was.
Because even like about the since now when the Terminators got burned alive from the explosion from the tanker truck about filled with gasoline.
And then that's when you see the Skeletor Terminator again for the effects. Yeah, for the time, that kind of effect of like how the Terminator looked.
By like a zombie type, but with the metal thing.
Yeah, the machine. That pretty good effects.
That movie is still like, you know, like we call stop motion animation. It's before that, it's like, it's partly it's where stop motion animation where someone gets like from background closing up. But when you do close up look about the Terminator, it's like you do puppetry or remote control.
When it showed that after the fire and it showed the skeleton like that, the effects and how you said that, it kind of reminds me of like Jason. In school, they showed us Jason and the Argonauts. It's kind of like a similar type of effect. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but even for a close up, you know, you have to do some kind of puppetry.
Right.
Puppetry or remote control.
Now, like, try to explain to us, like, why you like the ending exactly at the end of the first one, because I just thought it did have a good ending, but I also thought that, like, Terminator 2 had a really good ending as well. So, was there something particular about the ending of Terminator 1, 84?
Even what leads to connection, it turns out another thing in deleted scenes about what's connected to the Terminator 2, because when the first Terminator guy finally gets destroyed when it's crushed over that, when his arms are about to stick out to nearly choke Sarah Connor, but that was in the deleted scenes when the one who's investigating the crime scene about one of the technicians discovered the arms of the Terminator and the piece of chip about that's what
well, that,
the,
that, that yeah.
building when they're in the climax takes place is actually Cyberdyne building.
The arm thing in the chip was supposed to be a way of continuing the story on in T2 with that, yeah.
Yeah, that's where the scenes where they recover the remains of it. And that's what the building turns out the building takes place actually like in the climax. It's really a Cyberdyne building.
The Cyberdyne ended up being part of the second movie, though it got cut out of the first movie, yeah. Now, ages for a sec. We just said that Sarah Connor's 18 in this movie and 29 in or Terminator 2. Kyle Reese was originally 21 years old, while Michael Biehn was 27.
Yeah.
Interesting. So that goes back to...
Kyle Reese, it turns out for the fan about... Kyle Reese was born in 2003, that he should have been like in the future before the during the judgment day about like that way he's, how he's been a child back in time. But there's been debates about who's the father of John Connor about when Kyle Reese rescued Sarah Connor about why the machines want to kill her because her unborn son become like a messiah type of to save the future. We can't tell that Kyle Reese is actually a father who's pregnant to her.
That's actually a really big important part about.
Sounds like a Back to the Future type. You know?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, similar different ways to Back to the Future. That's actually a big part of the mythology of the story is that, you know, Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor get together. He's actually the father of John Connor. And so it's this whole, like, time traveling thing to try to understand on how that is. But yeah, and that's why their scene together towards the end is so important to the whole mythology and movies of this thing. But yeah.
The book that inspired Edge of Tomorrow, Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise, but it makes a bleak reference to the climax of this film with a robot in a factory, yeah?
Oh, something about the factory, you said?
The robot factory that climax.
Yeah.
The final fight.
Okay, wait, what were you trying to say about the final fight in the factory?
The final fight is a very good one about the... Even Kyle Reese was better to use all the machine to cover up.
Well, by the time they got to the factory, he pretty much died somewhere in the factory at one point. But I want to mention
that's why it makes connected like the end of Titanic and the Terminator about the main hero becomes Sarah Connor believes about died protecting her. It's just like the ending of that when Jack is killed and being frozen to death while saving.
You are trying to connect the Terminator 4 to Titanic in some ways. But okay, all right, I get that. Maybe some of that might be somewhat connecting wise in some way. I want to mention now things about the running time. Two things I found now in the trivia now about the running time about this. The minutes of screen time the Terminator actually has. So we mentioned his dialogue was 14, but now for actual minutes of screen time, it says the Terminator has 21 minutes of screen time. So this is a one hour and 40 some minute movie. It's a 1 hour and 40 some minute movie, and the Terminator in this 1 hour and 40 some minutes only has, the Terminator himself only has 21 minutes of screen time, and at 100.
He has a little bit of dialogue.
Yeah, we mentioned the dialogue part already. But yeah, he has 21 minutes of screen time, and at 107 minutes, this is the shortest film in the Terminator movie franchise.
They're
deleted for a reason, so I guess people could catch the deleted scenes on the Blu-ray DVD or something, but take out the deleted scenes on the extra movie thing features, then it's actually just 107 minutes, 1 hour, 47 minutes of screen time. So that's all about that stuff there. I wasn't able to find that guy about Transformers, but that's interesting how you added him, that he was involved with the voice of the teaser trailer somehow, and I guess Terminator and Transformers are two different, like, machine-type franchises, but anyway, yeah. Okay, cool, but I have to try to find him later to that from the, was he in the 80s Transformers show, or what was he in?
Yeah, Colin?
Yeah, Peter Cullen. What was he in exactly?
He's in the original Transformer cartoon
show. Okay, from the 80s, right? The original 80s cartoon, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up later.
Action,
yeah.
And the live action.
And which part of the live action?
Michael Bay's, all the live action of it by Michael Bay.
Okay, I'll have to find that guy in both the 80s and the movies later on.
And also that Michael Bay and Michael Bay and Linda Hamilton were born the same year, 1956.
Who was born the same?
Born the same year.
Who was?
Michael Biehn, who plays Carl Reese, and Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor, were born the same year, 1956.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay. Let's see. So they were both born in 1956. Now it says also of the ages. Sarah Connor was supposed to be 18, although Linda Hamilton was 27. And I think I mentioned a bit higher up from that how old Michael Bay actually was at the time. I have to relook that up again also.
About Herb Bowen, who plays psychologist Dr. Silverman. This is the first of five movies with Herb Bowen as psychologist. The others were the Falling 2's Terminator movies, and he also did Naked Gun 33 and the third, The Final Assault, and Bendy Professor 2, The Clumps.
Right, well, I just know him mostly from the first two Terminators, and then when I very first saw Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines with my dad for the first time, I was very surprised to see he had that little cameo scene by where Arnold had the coffin on him. Like, I was surprised. But that was a quick little cameo, and then that was his little part at the last part with that.
Oh, yeah. Here's about it. Besides Arnold Schwarzenegger plays an antagonist, and he plays Mr. Freeze and Batman Robin. However, his character, Breacher in Sabotage 2014, is more of an anti-hero than a villain.
Yeah, anti-hero. Yeah, I never saw that movie in its entirety, but yeah, that's interesting.
And also, this is the first movie of the Terminator. It didn't show who John Connor is, and only until the sequel it revealed the John Connor. Because the first movie, they never showed the John Connor, only the mention of him.
In the beginning of Terminator 2, in the machine's car that T-1000 gets into, it shows that James Connor was born in February of 1985, and this movie is supposed to take place in, I believe, May of 1984, and was released in October of 84.
Sometimes also about film scholars have debated that Martin McFly could have been his own father due to the laws of time travel established in this film.
Now we're trying to connect the Terminator again to Back to the Future?
Yeah, time traveling about it gets out the relationship, about the really connection to the past, about the if your mother fall in love with your own son. But if Kyle Reese is actually a father to John, to
okay.
John Connor.
So wait, hold on. I'm hearing you there, but I just saw what you were saying about the t-shirt. At around 20 minutes at one point, Sarah wears a bootleg Jetsons 1962 t-shirt. The Jetsons was an animated TV show set in the distant future, just as many of the events in the movie are set in the distant future. And then right above that, it talks about the phrase F-U a-hole quote and what that all connects to.
And also, that first movie, it also shows about how they use dogs as spot terminators when they sense about the...
Which movie was about the dogs?
The Terminator.
Yeah, the Terminator showed about the dogs with that, yeah.
Even in Terminator 2, when they use the dogs as though the T-1000 around, but in Terminator 2, when Arnold Schwarzenegger goes to Mexico to get some weapon, Enrique gives the gun supplies about two times. He has a pet dog, but this is the only film that... There's something wrong because the dog could not smell the Terminator that Arnold Schwarzenegger's a cyborg, an enemy.
Okay. Oh yeah, with the dogs and all that. Yeah. Terminator Dark Fate 2019, the sixth film in the franchise, was released 35 years after the Terminator and will be the film's 35th anniversary installment. I honestly think that even though Dark Fate didn't do well, they're still gonna try to bring it back in sometime in the future. Dr. Silverman just left that place just as the Terminator was coming in, but would actually see that same Terminator in a way once we get to that certain part of Terminator 2.
Also, the shotgun, the Franchi's Boss 12 shotgun, was also used in another classic film, Jurassic Park, which James Cameron wanted to direct.
You know how we? What's the connection? What's the connection to Jurassic Park?
The shotgun. The villains are Kyle Reese holds that was just shooting each other. The Franchi's Boss 12 shotgun was also used in another classic film, Jurassic Park, which James Cameron wanted to direct.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Oh, interesting. Okay. This film, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, and Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines have shown Terminators to be anatomically correct. That's interesting.
Maybe for the bodies.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or because even though the difference is about that, that's the first Terminator movie, only film that Arnold Schwarzenegger's in, because he doesn't have his hair cropped up. He only has, matted hair.
Okay. Oh, now I see what you were saying about Kyle Reese in 2003. It says that Kyle Reese was born in 2003 and is 26 years old in this movie. Okay, that's interesting. Like, I can't even fathom how Kyle Reese was actually born in 2003 when his son was born in 1985. It, doesn't make any sense.
So that doesn't make sense. He was born during the Judgment Day, afterwards.
Right. Yeah. That just doesn't. None of it connects to me. I guess that's why. I don't know. I mean, I guess James Cameron has his reasons, but it doesn't really make a whole lot of a sense when you think about it too much.
Even sometimes, it's very hard about how the police are very misunderstandable about
them. Yeah.
Even though how they believe that Kyle Reese is telling the truth, that Terminator is very indestructible.
Right, yeah. Now, let's see, it says, that's the first time that Bill Paxton, the punk leader, gets punched by Arnold Schwarzenegger, the second time being punched is True Lies, which we'll get to soon. Then it says, there's your music person, James Horner. It says that James Horner's music from Gorky Park, 1983, appeared in one of the teaser trailers.
That's one of the future collaboration between James Horner and James Cameron for only three films.
Right. Wait, what was that again? Say again?
Because that music for teaser trailer of The Terminator is by Gorky Park composer James Horner. James Horner works on three films with James Cameron in Aliens, Titanic, and Avatar.
Mm-hmm. So we're just reached out... Oh, you like all those connected movies too as well. We just reached 48 minutes in and I can only record up to 55. So you can talk some more about the movie while I'm scrolling through this trivia, but we are getting towards the end just to let you know.
Okay. Sometimes I like about the Terminator order the gun shop at the gun shop with the how he collects the guns. About like even the gun shop order is one they call by the name of like Dick or something.
Wait, which part are you talking about now?
The gun shop scene.
Oh, gunshot again. I want to mention how its connection to... Oh, hold on. I think I just saw what you said about Edge of Tomorrow. It says, the book that inspired Edge of Tomorrow 2014 makes an oblique reference to the climax of this film with a robot in the factory. Okay, that's interesting. Now, me being like an American Pie fan, right below that, I want to connect it to American Pie 2. It says that the scene where Kyle Reese first arrives in the alley was filmed at the same location as Nadia calling Jim from a payphone in American Pie 2, which was also going to have Bill Paxton as Stifler's dad. That's interesting.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, and that's also I like about, like, even I like the ending about the post, like, when Sarah Connor goes down to Mexico, about to prepare a new life as she's pregnant. It's about, even it's all connected to how she got pictures taken about by a Mexican boy, about that way.
Are we talking about the ending of Terminator 1 with the Mexican boy?
Yeah, one about that she's beautiful, about the same photo that Kyle Reese uses.
Right, the same photo,
In the future, that's what it's been passed down about from John Carter. It's the same photo they use every time in the film franchise.
Right, that's interesting. That's interesting. In the novelization, Kyle deliberately shoots the Terminator's arm after its laser sign pointed at Sarah. If he'd shot it anywhere else, it would have killed her anyway. The shot is the one that injures the arm, and the scene was seen later. Furthermore, the fact it actually was included in the film, but Kyle's amazing shot is very obscured by the freeze frame bonus. In slow motion, you can actually see the shotgun slot knock the Terminator's arm away as it fires. That's interesting.
And also, do you know originally after the success of Terminator, they thought they had Arnold Schwarzenegger playing RoboCop in the movie?
Yeah, no, I don't. I think they chose the right RoboCop for the first RoboCop movie. I think they're two different series and franchises and things. And I think, you know, Schwarzenegger was meant to be the Terminator, and whoever that guy was, the meant to be RoboCop 1 was meant to be RoboCop.
Peter Weir.
Yeah, Peter Weir.
His name.
Yes.
If you look up a YouTube video, they show the same footage of the ending of RoboCop, but his face is a replacement. It's called Deep Fake. He had replaced from Peter Weir to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah, I don't like Deep Fake. Deep Fake stuff scares me. Okay, so this is the first R-rated Terminator film. The two films that followed, T2 and T3, were also rated R. However, numbers 4 and 5, Salvation and Genesis, were both rated PG-13. And then the 6th, Terminator Dark Fate in 2019, was then R again. But I just consider T3 for T6 fan fiction. Let's see.
I think about everything that we know about this. The music playing during the PlayStation's massacre is the same that is playing in 10 to Midnight.
Which part are you saying now?
The music playing during the PlayStation massacre is the same that is played in 10 to Midnight when the officer manager announces Betty's dead.
Okay.
It's a Charles Bronson movie.
Oh, you're talking about now a Charles Bronson movie? Okay, now I see what you were saying about Sabotage and an Antihero. But wait, now what were you saying about a Charles Bronson movie?
That's a Midnight. It's the same the music played during the police station massacre. The same that is played in 10 to Midnight.
Oh, wow.
When the office manager announces that he's dead.
Oh, wow, okay. That's a lot more information there. You talk about so much stuff, it's hard to remember everything to call back to, everything you're talking about, but okay. Let's see.
But also, I like about the opening scene takes place in 2029, the same year as Planet of the Apes remake, 2001.
Planet of the Apes, the first movie, was really good, yeah.
Yeah. And also sometimes I like about this, everything is like, sometimes what I like about it is like, it's very poor life about in the future, about like when they go out in the underground bunker, about...
Oh yeah, they shared the bunker as part of the story of the future, I mean.
And also, you know, there's another actor who plays the other Terminator in the future, but it's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's not Lou Ferrigno, they had to hire another bodybuilder to... Also works with the Pumping Iron documentary. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger playing the future Terminator.
Oh wait, what happened with the Pumping Iron again?
There's another actor who plays co-stars Arnold Schwarzenegger about the. He's in that movie also in the first Terminator as a future Terminator in that flashback.
Oh okay, well that's added on trivia known.
It's a bunker.
Wow. Well, that's all. That's extra trivia known there. Okay. We're 53 minutes in, almost 54. So we covered a lot of trivia in this one, and some other things to other connection shows of movies and TV. We're gonna be anybody that's still listening at this point, we'll be covering Terminator 2 Judgment Day next. And then close that off with True Lies. We're just reaching 54 minutes in. Having seen this after Terminator 2, this first Terminator, which will get a whole... Terminator 2 gets its own episode. The Terminator 1984. How would you grade this one?
Like a rate around 8 out of 10.
So would that be like a letter grade of a B?
Grade B.
Okay, an 8 out of 10 or a B. Yeah, let me see. IMDb gave it a 8.1 out of 10. So yeah, I would say an 8 out of 10 also or a B. I agree as well. Final thoughts and opinions for the audience about The Terminator for 1984.
Well, sometimes they have to be careful not to change the past, but even they say just make sure about don't get close up about the fixing yourself.
Well, I think the orb and the chip really brought the second movie in, and then what they did with Schwarzenegger coming back and having John Connor all in that. Oops. Okay, so the maximum recording time for segments is 60 minutes. Keep an eye on the clock. Okay, so you were saying what exactly about the movie again?
Well, be careful, everything you like to see about it is all becomes so weird about, to be repair yourself.
Did you say repairing yourself?
When Terminator gets hit, but you can't think of it like a non-surgery type.
Oh, yeah, but are you talking about the part where he does surgery on his eye?
And his wrist.
I thought that was a really good practical scene with the eye there. Really well done. Of course, the special effects and everything get much better in the second movie with a bigger budget. But I hope everybody enjoyed this so far. We're going to be doing Terminator 2 next, coming up. And then our James Cameron discussion will end with Avi and I's thoughts and opinions of True Lies from 1994. So thank you if you made it this far, everybody, and we will see you in our next discussion of Terminator 2 Judgment Day. See you all, everybody. This is friend and co-host Avi and Ben, friend and co-host Avi and Millennial Man Motions Entertainment LLC, signing out till T2.